Welcome to How Fitting, the podcast for slow fashion designers and entrepreneurs about creating clothing and growing a business that fits your customer lifestyle and values. I'm your host, Allison Haynes. Do you want to get your designs to production without compromising your brand's fit, vision, or values? My pattern making services are tailored to help womenswear slow fashion brands do just that. You can learn more and book a free introduction call at howfittingpatterns.com to see if we'd be a good fit to work together. Now, on to the episode.
Today I'm joined by Kalia Carter of Bodycon the Brand. So welcome to the show, Kalia.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for joining me. For those listening or meeting you for the first time, could you share a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so my name's Kalia, and about in March of this year, I started a clothing brand. It's a fuller bust clothing brand for women. So for people who might not know exactly what that means, that just means women who typically are higher cup sizes, and then the cup size ratio in comparison to the waist. And so when you have a large gap between the bust measurement and the waist measurement, that kind of is what classifies you as fuller bust. And so my clothing brand is kind of built around women with that body type, because I found that there's a lot of difficulty finding things that fit in a good way that are actually flattering and supportive and sufficiently cover what needs to be covered. So yeah, that's who I am, what I do.
I love it. I think I mentioned to you earlier, I'm always so intrigued, and I really admire brands who are committed to really making clothes fit super well for a specific person, especially who's typically underserved by the general like fashion that's out there. Mm-hmm. So I love what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Yeah. So fashion is so often seen as superficial, but it really is so intertwined in deeper things like body image, self-confidence, mm-hmm. and expression, and social mm-hmm. expectations, as I'm sure.
Yeah. Being a woman.
Yeah. So your brand, I feel like, is a great example of you think about kind of like the deeper things behind the fashion. You talk about mm-hmm. it. So I'm curious, what goes through your head? What are you thinking about beyond the clothes themselves as mm-hmm. you're designing for this brand?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think going beyond the clothes, I think everything that I create, like, from my clothing, even to my content and the wording on my website and stuff, is I kind of try to think of myself from the perspective when I was 13, 14, just growing up and just being really unhappy with my body, being really unhappy with my chest and just the way that I was developing and the way that it just seemed that I no longer fit into the world. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it felt, oh, suddenly going shopping with my mom and nothing looked right. Nothing fit well. I didn't look or could share any clothes with my friends or anything like that. And so I think just the deeper message, I think, with my entire clothing brand is that clothes should be made to fit you and your body type, which is really important. And we shouldn't be trying to change ourselves to the point where it's unhealthy just to fit into these clothes that we see online or see on these high fashion models and stuff. Because at the end of the day, there's a ton of different body types. And so I think it's really important for self-image, even just to have clothes that fit you well and flatter you well. I think it also helps a lot with self-confidence, too.
Yeah, I totally agree. You bring up a great point that not only is it so defeating to go to a store and try stuff on and realize it mm-hmm. doesn't fit, but it's like almost impossible sometimes to shop yeah. online. Mm-hmm. And so what are the options? And you sell online too. So mm-hmm. how are you kind of assuring people that like, no, mm-hmm. this is actually going to fit you this time, but right. there's some hesitation there.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I try my best with the sizing charts, and then I use myself, and I'm very open about my sizing and what size I am. And then I also have my friends who help as models, and I make sure to put all of their dimensions on the website, bra size and all of their measurements and stuff like that, so that people can see themselves. But the reality is that it's something that's going to take longer to overcome, because even now I still get emails or people trying to exchange products who are like, Yeah, I ordered two sizes bigger than I usually do because that's just the way I've been conditioned to shop online. Like, I get so many people who buy my products who are like, oh, this is like actually too big. Like, oh, I looked at your size chart. I know what it said, but I still sized up two sizes because that's just what I always do. And then I exchange it out for the right size. And then they're like, oh my God, this is literally something that I don't own. I've never had anything fit me like this. I hear that a lot. So to answer your question, it's definitely a longer term thing to kind of shift that mindset as to I'm making clothes for your body type. So the size chart is actually accurate. Mm-hmm. Like those sizes are actually what it is. And please order your size. Don't size up. It's going to be too big. But, you know, people do it anyways. And I have a lot of patience with that because that's how I am. And whenever I'm shopping anywhere else, and that's how I shopped for so many years. So it's hard just to undo that because one Instagram post says, hey, I got something for you. It's yeah, okay. So,
Yeah, that's really cool that you do a good job, I feel like, of showing you use models that are representative of the customer that you're fitting versus like a typical. I mean, and some brands have gotten better about this in recent years, but still. Mm-hmm. High fashion runway models are like stick thin, super tall. And there are women who are that shape, but many that are not don't look the same.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's why I think it's really important as well to have models that actually are representative of what the brand is, just to help people be able to see themselves in the pieces. Yeah.
I totally agree. That's super important.
Yeah.
So you talked about how like you shopped that way for years, sizing up. What changed for you and when in terms of like, how did you make this shift into thinking about buying clothing and even viewing your own body versus the clothing that was out there differently? What was that change?
Yeah, I think the reality is that there hasn't been a change, even for me on a personal level, because even when I'm shopping anywhere else other than wearing my own pieces, it's really difficult. And I tend to try to have the same discernment when it comes to picking things that I think will fit. And so it's definitely tough to have that shift because, like you just said, a lot of these websites, they don't have clothes that or don't have models that look like me and my body type. And so everything is kind of a shot in the dark. So yeah, that's what I would say to that, is that it's something that I'm still kind of trying to work through. But also that's why I created this brand, right? It's just to kind of combat that and do my part in the world of trying to make things more inclusive and have clothes fit everybody better. Because I think it's an important shift to make, definitely, especially in this niche as far as like fuller bust goes, because it's so small. There's so like when I first started out, I only had my little corset top and I was kind of like showing it to the world. Like, hey, I made this thing. This is kind of cool. And then I get DMs. People are like, oh, when are you going to make bras? When are you going to make swimsuits? When are you going to make wedding guest dressed attire? When are you going to make prom dresses? I'm like, okay, wait, whoa. Like it just kind of goes to show. It just kind of goes to show how this problem applies to literally every single piece of clothing that I own or have ever owned. So it does seem kind of like a daunting thing sometimes. But yeah.
So how did you decide what pieces to start with? Because like you said, this affects everything.
Right. Yeah. So I think I decided to start with the corset top. I mean, when I first got the first sample for the corset top was about a year ago. So it's been a long time and I just chose something I liked. I mean, back then I had, I think maybe 50 followers on my Instagram account. I was just like, I'm going to try my best at this and I'm going to choose something I like. And if I fail, well, at least I get a top that fits me and I get to keep it. That was my entire ideology. I was like, I'm just going to start off with this. Also, I felt like there were a lot of other brands doing bras specifically. And bras is definitely a huge pain point for a lot of people, especially when it comes to shopping online. So I kind of felt like bras was kind of taken care of by so many of these awesome small boutiques that I've been stumbling upon. And also bras take a very specific kind of science. There's like a science behind how to craft a very well-made bra. So that's kind of why I started off with the tops and dresses. Yep.
Gotcha. So what is your background? Did you work in fashion before this, or how did you even decide I'm going to start a fashion brand?
Yeah, that's actually really funny. So my background, I'm actually a software engineer. So my background is I studied CS in college and graduated and work at a tech company now still. So that's my background. Nothing to do with fashion, nothing to do with clothing, nothing to do with anything creative at all. I think I started this out of like frustration, honestly, for myself. I still remember the day that I like decided I was going to do this. I think I was scrolling through ASOS trying to shop for something, some trip I was going on with my friends. And I was just getting so frustrated. I felt like there was literally no options, like nothing that I would even take a chance on buying online, just cute tops to wear out. I wasn't looking for anything extravagant or really random. It was just, I was looking for cute going out tops. That's literally all I searched. And I just couldn't find anything that I felt like I could wear without my bra strap showing, or wear without a bra, or felt like it looked like I could actually fit into the tops. And so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do this myself. How hard could it be? And well, it's hard, but I'm in it now. So so yeah, that's kind of my short background. So nothing to do with fashion, but here we are.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the founders that I talk to, like their career either before starting the brand or even while running the brand, and something completely different.
Right.
Often it is just that necessity that brought them into fashion. So you're not alone there. So what was kind of the first things you did to start the brand? And then I want to ask a few more questions about what you just
did too. yeah, sure. So to start, you mean like just straight in the beginning, like I had the idea and then what did I do next?
Yeah.
YouTube. I just, how to start a clothing brand. That's literally how I started. I remember watching like a first couple of videos, and I was like trying to take notes, and I was like, okay, what's a tech pack? It was very like, I had absolutely no idea what was going on. So definitely I started off with lots of YouTube videos just so I could kind of see what the process would be for me. So I need to have things planned out. I don't know how to say it. I'm the type of person that needs to plan everything out. And I know that's impossible to do when you're starting a business, but I needed to have some kind of structure.
You can have a plan in place. Yeah, have structure.
Exactly.
And then it will never go to the plan, but at least you have somewhere to start.
Exactly. Yeah. So what I got from YouTube and some people online is this: I had a roadmap, and that's really what I needed, because I had literally no idea how I was going to do the fashion portion of it. And then like me, like being in tech and the software engineer, like I knew, okay, the website, I got that. I could do the website. I had the website before I had anything else. So I was like, okay, I could do the website.
That's feeling good.
I was like, I know how to do a website, know how to buy a URL and get a domain and stuff like that. I know how to do social media on the Instagram. I can figure that out. But when it came to the actual business part of it, I needed the roadmap that was like, okay, start with a tech pack, use your tech pack to find manufacturers, go back and forth with manufacturers for 4 months and fix the sizing and fix stitching and whatever else. And then you do your bulk order. And then you go to market, and that's the roadmap I had in my head. And I was like, all right, that's what we're going to do. So that's kind of how I first really started out, and then started trying to create my own tech packs in Adobe Illustrator, which was just so difficult. It was so hard, because a lot of these, when you Google or go on YouTube and you're like, okay, how to start a clothing brand, right? A lot of times you get these guys who are like, yeah, just go on Printify, print on demand, draw up a little doodle and then print it on t-shirts and you're good to go. And I'm like, okay, so I'm not doing that. So my entire business model is not just something you can slap on a t-shirt. And it was that took a lot. That was difficult to kind of learn of, okay, my tech pack actually needs to have like actual measurements. I ended up taking a pattern making class too here locally in Seattle, just so I could understand what is a pattern. What does it even mean to have these pieces together, and how do they go together in a way that makes sense for my brand and my purpose? So there was a lot of base knowledge that I had to do specifically, I think, for my niche, that the things that I had to learn as far as that before I could even move on to the manufacturing stage. So yeah, that's kind of the rundown how I got started.
Yeah, you do seem very prepared and organized and willing to jump in and learn, which I feel like it's a skill that every entrepreneur needs.
Yeah, for sure.
To learn those things. And mm-hmm. I'm proud of you for taking pattern making class. I feel like it's super useful to have some.
Yeah.
I mean, I am a pattern maker, but even for designers, like having some sort of understanding of that, I feel like makes you a better designer too.
It does.
You kind of understand. Really, here's mm-hmm. how things go together and what would make this work or what would make this more expensive versus like simpler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. Thank you. I totally agree. The pattern making was it's just an unlock for me in this mm-hmm. process, because there was a large point in the beginning where I was like online. They're like, oh, just Google a tech pack and try to pull one offline. And I was trying to do it myself in Adobe Illustrator. And it was just like, I have no idea what does a shirt look like when it's deconstructed? What do the different mm-hmm. pieces look like when you're looking at them all flat on a table? Mm-hmm. And in my case of full or bust, which pieces need to be bigger and which pieces need to be smaller? Like it needed to get very technical for mm-hmm. me before I could move forward, which I think is specific to my niche. So
yeah, there's a lot less flat pieces and a lot more curves and arc shaped pieces in a full or bust.
Yeah.
Like nothing is flat and straight.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So with the size chart, I know that's something that so many new brands struggle with, but I bet particularly challenging for you're trying to create something new that has different measurements than what you can just go out and find. So how did you go about creating that size chart for Bodycon, the brand?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The size chart was definitely a really difficult point for me. I kept going back and forth. Like I think I have probably 3 or 4 versions of the size chart written down in my notebook somewhere, because I kept going back and forth about, okay, well, should the waist be here and the bust be here? Should the waist be there and the bust be here? And so what I did as far as research, I looked at other full or bust brands and saw where their size charts were. And that helped me a lot, because I just needed to have at least a baseline of, okay, what are people going off of? And I think because I didn't have a lot of experience in fashion and stuff, I could write down some measurements, but I'm like, I used to be like, is a real person even, are these real measurements of a real person? How would I know? I have nothing to grasp off of when I was making those numbers in the beginning. So looking at other full or bust brands really helped me in the beginning to do the size chart. And then using myself as an anchor, and then using my friends and my models as anchors as well. So that really helped. And then also at a certain point, I had to come to terms with the fact that it won't fit everybody in the world. I had to come to terms with the fact that it won't fit every person who tries it on, no matter what size I choose. As far as, obviously, I'm going to stick to the whole full or bust ratio and keep those proportions. But at the end of the day, it's very difficult to include everybody. And that was one of those things that I just had to pull the trigger on, and I had to make a decision with the information that I had at the time, which was going off other websites, using my own body measurements, using my friend's body measurements, talking to the manufacturer and getting their input about how to size grade and stuff like that. And then I just had to go for it, because like I was saying, there's not a lot of full or bust brands. The ones I was looking at, mostly based in the UK, and so super expensive to get anything shipped to me and things like that when I was first starting out. So I was like, I just have to pull the trigger on this. And it's tough, I think, because there's not a lot of brands that do the full or bust proportion. So I really was in the dark. There was no YouTube video of like how to size. And trust me, I looked high and low for a how to size full or bust YouTube videos, all of it. And it literally didn't exist. So that was definitely a tough point, but at the end of the day, I just had to pull the trigger. And then I was thinking, well, the worst that could happen is that everyone tells me they hate it and I'll come back to the drawing board and fix it.
Yeah, that's quite the journey. But I think like what you said about at some point, you just have to say, okay, I've done as much research as I can. Now I just got to go with it and test it and tweak it later. That's something that I talk about a lot with fit too, is yes, you want to do the research. Yes, you want to try it on real people and test your samples and all of that. But at some point, you can get caught in that like endless cycle of like tweaking, over perfecting before you even know who your target customer, who your actual customers are. And so at some point it's good, it's better to say, this is good enough, launch it, get the feedback from your real customers, and then go from there, because it's impossible to get the perfect fit, I think.
Yeah.
On the first try of a first collection of your first piece, there's too much unknown at that point.
Yeah.
But it is scary. It is scary to like put something out there if you aren't sure.
Yep, you're totally right. Definitely was very daunting to kind of just pull the trigger on that, especially when I felt like I was at a space where I'm like, I'm just a software engineer who has no idea what she's doing. But the fact that even when I did research online, there was nothing out there to help. I was like, okay, well, there's not even anything to go off of. So how could it be wrong when there is no example of what's right? So yeah,
probably the closest thing. Did you look at all at like ASTM Kirby sizing?
No, I haven't.
I'll send you the link there.
Okay.
They have like fit standards for U.S. women plus size women too. It's probably not quite as full of bust as what you're targeting, but at least it's curvy. Like they've got a smaller hip or a smaller waist, larger hip ratio compared to the bust.
Right.
For that curvy standard. And so that's at least something to go off of. And then use that as a reference. But yeah, that's really the only one I can think of in terms of industry sizing standards that would be even close to what you're doing.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult. And I also found, as far as the sizing goes, that it was difficult to use even standard, like you said, curvy or plus size measurements, because a lot of the time it would be, they would keep, if you think of a corset dress, for example, that has the little boob cutouts. A lot of times it'll be plus size and it'll just be bigger, but the boob cutout will still be tiny. And so it was like, I can't even, using the measurements of the actual bust around, that part was fine, but it was figuring out what the actual cup sizing should be was a really hard part for me, especially with the corset top. And
yeah, figuring out like the underwire placement and how
far up that cup should actually be in comparison. That was really tough because I had nothing to go off of. I mean, the corset top, I had nothing in my closet like that. There was no, like a lot of the YouTube videos would be like, oh yeah, just take out your favorite shirt and measure it. No, I don't have anything in here like this. That's kind of the whole point. So, and I chose the corset top because it was hard. Ironically, I could never have imagined how quickly things took off. I chose it because it was difficult. I didn't want to just do a tube top or something with a built-in bra underneath where you couldn't really see any breast silhouettes. I wanted it to be difficult and I wanted it to be like something I didn't own, which ended up creating a bit of a challenge, but it was fun.
Yeah. I mean, I was really, is it the Prism corset that I think I first saw your brand on Instagram with a picture of that. And I was like, well, isn't that a wonderful fit for a large, this is not easy to fit. And this, you've done it well for that. So like, that was the first thing I noticed too, is it was not easy, but you got it.
Yeah. Thank you.
So yeah, what have been some of the challenges along the way, other than just learning this as you go? Because there isn't a reference for, there's not other brands doing this, really.
Right. Yeah. Challenges, I would say, I think I've been very candid about this on my Instagram as well. It's just like dealing with the manufacturers and their idea. They have their ideas of what a normal sized woman is. They have these preconceived notions about, okay, this is the size of a normal human woman, and why would anybody ever fall outside of these measurements? And so when I was looking for manufacturers, and even when I found ones that I'm working with, and we would be working together for months on a size chart, like what happened with my Serenity Breeze dress, like I ended up with almost 100 dresses that were completely unusable because they just decided not to follow my size chart, which is they just did their own thing, completely random, unprompted, didn't tell me about it. I didn't find out until I received all of the inventory. And I was measuring it and I was like, how? Like, where in what world would these measurements work for my business? And so a huge challenge has been like sitting down with manufacturers and having to be firm and stern about these are the measurements. This is what my brand is. They're like, well, that's kind of big. Yeah, that's the point. Please make it the way that I have specified in the tech pack. Please don't try to make your own modifications because you think you know what's best. And so a lot of times I end up wasting months waiting on samples just to receive the sample. And then, oh, well, our designers or our seamstress decided that it should be like this because that's how it should fit. And then I send them a picture of it and I'm like, this looks ridiculous. This isn't what I asked for. The measurements are off. And so having to be really stern on the sizing is something that I didn't expect, I think, when I started off. I figured, oh, I worked so hard on the size chart and then it's done. And that's what they do. No, actually, no. I need to be very involved in the process, but I need to stay on top of them. I need to check in a lot and things like that. So that's been a difficult thing to come to terms with, the fact that I need to be a lot more involved with that manufacturer relationship and staying on top of those things more so than I think other brands and other niches would need to be. So I've gotten to the point where when I'm doing a new piece, I order multiple sizes of the piece. Even if it's not a size of, it's not my size or it's not my model size, I still order multiple sizes to make sure everything's right. Because I've had enough mistakes and I've wasted enough money assuming, oh, well, they wouldn't just randomly change. Yes, they would actually. So that's been a struggle for sure. Definitely a big challenge.
Yeah, I'm sorry you had to go through that. That's so frustrating.
Okay. Super frustrating. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's like you want to get the samples in and be like, oh, this is amazing. Everything you wanted, like exactly as you asked for in the tech pack, and not get it in and be like, what is this?
Yeah.
So were these what pieces that you got in the initial sample size and then you just didn't get the other multiple sizes before you ordered production? Or
yeah,
have you seen the samples and then they just changed it after that?
So we had been working together on a sample for the Serenity Breeze dress. And the one that I was wearing, like in most of my videos from a few months ago, was supposed to be the size small, because according to my size chart I have on my website, I'm the size small. And somehow my manufacturers had interpreted that the sample that we were working on together was a large, which is obviously not the case. And I told them multiple times that this was the size small. And I obviously created my own size chart, I had a tech pack made by somebody I think I found on Fiverr and stuff like that. Like I put a lot of effort into making the size chart and making the sizing what it was before I sent it to them, obviously. And they just decided, oh, what we were working on. And I think that's where it kind of comes in of they have these ideas of what the normal size, quote, normal size of a woman is. And so they had just assumed that the sample we had been working on had to have been a large because it was just so big in their opinion. And so they were, I guess they, surely she wants four sizes smaller than this one. And it's no. So.
Yeah. That's so sad. I'm sorry you had to deal with that.
It's okay. It's okay.
Learning process, right? Were you able to get it sorted out?
Yes, I was able to get it sorted out, but it's just I lost a lot of money. I sorted it out, but definitely ended up losing money at the end of the day because I decided to prioritize getting the product to my customers over getting my money back, if that makes sense. So I go through a platform called Pietra. I don't know if you've heard of them. It's kind of like a
connect to. I've seen some ads, but I don't know too much about them beyond that.
Okay. Yeah. So Pietra is basically like a online thing. You kind of can scroll through multiple manufacturers and see what kind of things they work on and chat with them and kind of organize the whole process of you can post a tech pack up and other manufacturers will look at it and send you a message like, hey, we can do this. We can work on this. And then you order samples from them and the process kind of goes from there. And so you also can place your bulk orders through the program. And I chose it because I was seeing YouTube videos about people getting scammed. So I didn't want to get scammed. And I also liked that the manufacturers had been vetted. So I didn't have to worry about child labor and other things that would be unpleasant to be associated with. And so that's why I ended up going through them. But yeah, so I ended up prioritizing just working with the same manufacturers and sending them the right size chart and working it out that way, as opposed to reporting them to the platform and trying to get my money back and doing this whole painful thing. So it did end up working out, but sadly, money and time was lost. So that sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're able to work it out. And then going forward, because I know you've done several pieces and you're working on some new ones, which I saw you posted some sneak peeks of.
Yeah.
Is it kind of through the same manufacturer, like now that you got things sorted out, they know what they're doing, or did you end up switching?
So actually, all of my pieces are different manufacturers, which at first I thought, oh man, this is so overwhelming. Why am I doing it this way? But now I'm really grateful that I'm doing it that way, because each manufacturer kind of has their own problem that needs to be worked through. And so I, especially in the case of the dresses, I'm grateful that they were not in control of any of my other pieces, because it would have been a huge holdup. And I definitely would have had to consider shifting everything away. I didn't like the idea of having my entire business contingent on one manufacturer, because who knows what could go wrong. Mm-hmm. And well, I got a little taste of what could go wrong. But so yeah, they're all manufactured by different companies that I think had strengths in different areas. So like for the corset, I went through a couple different ones as far as the corset construction and stuff like that. I was very particular about that. And then the same with the dresses. I was looking at two different ones and I got samples from both of them and then settled on this one because they had a better specialty in dresses and I like the quality and stuff. So I kind of choose manufacturers I feel like have a certain strong suit for whatever type of piece I'm trying to make.
Yeah, that's smart to go about that, because factories do have specialties, like you said, in the product type or maybe the fabrication. Because I know you have some, like you started with woven pieces, but now you're introducing some knit pieces as well. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
Yeah. So what does your design process look like when you're working on new pieces?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I typically just start with something, a piece that I like. And then I see it online. I'm like, oh, that could never fit me, or that I could never wear that. And I've kind of gotten in a process of kind of stopping that train of thought and changing, okay, well, what would have to happen to this piece in order for it to work for me? And that's kind of how I start the process. And every piece is different. In the case of the corset, it was like, okay, the cups need to be way bigger, but the waist is fine and the shape of the waist is fine. And for the dresses, it was like same deal. Cups had to be taller. But for things like the Raven cutout, that one was a little bit more tricky. Like you said, it's a knit. And so it was, when I ordered the first sample, it fit me fine. But my model, who she's a 40H, so she's a lot heavier on top. And the fabric was so stretchy that it wouldn't provide any support, even though I had made the back kind of drawstring. Mm-hmm. And so things like that, I kind of wire my brain to think, okay, how can I make this work? How do I add more support? A lot of times it's, how do I add support? How do I add lift? Is there a way that I can make this braless? I'm really big on braless, even though obviously I still wear bras a lot, but I'm really big on making pieces bra free if I can, and if it's possible. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it is possible. Just it matters of changing the fabric and changing the strap placement, making things adjustable. And yeah, so that's my design process there, is how I kind of choose things. I also like to do, if I have bandwidth, I like to ask my followers, what kind of pieces would you guys like to see? Is there anything trending that you guys would like to see? And the Serenity Breeze dress was actually a follower suggestion. It wasn't like my own idea. So, because I get DMs all the time, like, hey, can you make a dress like this? And they send a picture. It's so cute. And I'm like, oh, well, you know what? We can post it up and have people vote on it and see what they say. And that's also been really fun too, because that's how you run a business. I'm not making everything for myself. I'm making everything for you guys. And so it's up to what you guys want and what color you want it to be. And, you know, and that makes it really fun.
Yeah, that does sound fun.
Mm-hmm.
So with your, I want to ask a few more questions about design. And
yeah, yeah.
Do you want to ask about like your community that you built?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So what are your must-haves for a fuller bust style, mm-hmm. what are the things where you're like, okay, in order for me to design this, it's got to have this, or it's got to be this type of thing?
The must have for me is the cup sizing. That's probably the most, like, what I'm very particular about is that it has to have enough space for, like, boobs. Mm-hmm. It needs to have that. Otherwise, I wouldn't consider it fuller bust, because it just needs to be able to fit. And then it also needs to be able to have coverage, because a lot of times there's a lot more to cover as far as like areolas mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And so just the surface area needs to be bigger. So that's a big must have for me. And then also what I like so far, not saying I'll keep this up in the future, but like I just said, I like the braless aspect. I really like making things braless. So I feel like with fuller busts, I feel like we're almost chained to our bras mm-hmm. because so many pieces don't provide support for us the way they would with women who have smaller chests. And so there's just this, you always have to wear a bra. You can never be without the bra. You have to have it on under everything. Straps always showing, all of this. And so a must have for me right now is that the option for people to go without. And you could still wear the strapless bra under the Serenity Breeze dress and under the corset and those types of things if you want to. But I really am solid on the idea of if you want to go braless, you can, which I think is really awesome, especially for people with the bigger cup sizes, bigger than me, because that really doesn't exist. I mean, it totally, completely does not exist. So those are my must-haves for sure.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're really, I can't think of many brands that offer the ability to go braless, especially mm-hmm. in the larger cup sizes. Like, yeah. That's pretty rare.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough problem to handle. I mean, you have large surface area, but then you also have a lot of weight, like just literally mm-hmm. the weight of gravity pulling down is that things need to be constructed differently in order for it to work. So,
yeah, there's a lot of physics involved in clothing construction and pattern making. I mean, I think about that a lot of how is the mm-hmm. fabric going to hang and how physics of the garment and what are the stress points where where does the weight literally hang on the body and how will that affect the drape? And it's all super important.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly.
So you mentioned earlier today that you started with 50 followers on Instagram, but now it sounds like you have a very healthy, engaged community that you can ask for what they want to see and get opinions on colors and stuff. How did you build that mm-hmm. up?
Just consistency. That's the name of the game, honestly. I know I just sound like a broken record because everyone says that. Oh, you need consistency. But when I started,
it's true, I think.
It is. It's absolutely true. And I think it's like, oh, you get to the end. I'm like, oh, man, all those Instagram gurus were right. All I needed to do was post every day. But they were absolutely right. When I first started, like I started my account back in, I think, May of last year. And I just committed to, okay, I'm going to post every day, every weekday, and see what happens. And if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of my account, those first few posts are still there and they were garbage. But I learned what works and what doesn't as far as like trends and how to make reels and how to have a hook and whether you're being educational or entertaining and how you're relating to people and stuff like that. And so I definitely got a lot better at it from in the beginning, but at the end of the day, it's just consistency and putting yourself out there, and eventually things will get shown to the right people. I think that Instagram just needs to know who you're trying to reach. And so that was when you're starting off, it's very slow, but I think I made sure to follow other accounts that were in my niche, comment, do a lot of interacting with other similar accounts, and then slowly like that, I think I started to get shown to the right people. And then randomly, I went viral a couple of times. I don't think there's any science to the virality, honestly. I think the algorithm mm-hmm. just chooses a couple of videos and is like, this is the chosen one now. You're like, okay.
I'll take it.
So I'm like, okay, that works for me. But that can only happen if you're consistent with it. I was listening to another podcast a couple weeks ago, and this guy, he said, if you could have a free lottery ticket every day, would you go pick it up from the store, from 7-Eleven? And obviously the answer is yes. And so that's basically what it means to post on Instagram every day, is because like you say, one viral video can really change your life. It could change your business. And so posting once a day or twice a day, that's your free lottery ticket. It costs nothing but time, obviously. Mm-hmm. Costs nothing but time to take a shot at having a viral video. And so consistency, just the more posts you make, the more likely it is to happen.
So, yeah. Have you found that the viral posts or the viral reels that you posted, did they have a significant impact on the growth of your business, do you think?
I think so. The first time I went viral, I hadn't even launched anything yet. The first time I went viral, people were just mad at me for what I was doing. They just hated the idea. I mean, it was like viral for like bad reason. I was like, I felt infamous. When I first went viral, I think it was like October of last year, and I didn't actually start selling things until March of this year. So the first time, people were just hating on me. I don't know what to say about that. There was nothing to grow.
Were they upset?
So I had made a video, and again, back when I had just my friends and my mom following me, I was just yelling into the void like I did every day. And I made a video and it was like, oh, so you don't make clothes for the itty bitty titty committee or something like that or something. You don't make clothes for the A size girls or something. And then the audio in the background was like, no, absolutely not. And it wasn't supposed to be like a rude thing. It was just supposed to be like I have a business model. I have a niche. It wouldn't make sense for me to start doing that. That's all that was. And then the algorithm decided that was the one. I think it started off with one hate comment from like some girl in the UK. And then after that, it blew up. And people were like, oh, why don't you make more clothes for everybody? Why are you discriminating against us? You're promoting obesity. I don't know. I just insane
oh
stuff.
My gosh.
Yeah. And I was just like, wow, I haven't even made anything yet. And I even had comments who were like, yeah, well, all your clothes are ugly. I was like, what clothes? I haven't started yet. It's like such pointless hatred. I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, yeah, well, your business sucks.
People are so mean sometimes.
Yeah. And I'm like, what business? There's nothing for sale here. Like, it was crazy the first time. So but it definitely helped grow my account a little bit. I think I ended up with like 4,000 followers after that. And then the second time I went viral, it was like April of this year, I think. And so I had the corsets and I had made a video about the Serenity Breeze dress because I finally had the final sample and I was ready to place the bulk order. And so I just made a video just in time for summer, finally made a dress that fits Fuller Bust Girls. And then it went viral. And I would say viral for the right reasons, as far as it was very targeted towards people who were in my niche. And so that's how the followers went up from 5,000 to 30,000. And yeah, so it was really quick growth. And then also I happened to sell out most of my corsets that day too. And any of the corsets I had left were sold out, which is exciting. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And so that definitely contributed a lot to my growth. But there's some things I wish you can never predict when things like that are going to happen. And so I definitely wish I had a better, lead generation thing set up. I capture more emails and because my web traffic was around almost 50,000, I think, that month. And so, but it'll, as long as I'm consistent, it'll happen again one day. I don't know when, but
yeah, be ready. I mean, you've got the software skills. Sounds heavier.
Yeah, yeah.
Have a way to capture the virality next time it happens.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So,
yeah, that's so wild that like you experience kind of both sides of the viralness.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got the good audience now and I'm like attracting all the haters, which I'm definitely, and I'm not Fuller Bust. I'm very small chested.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not at all offended when people make something that's not for me because there's plenty of stuff that I can choose from.
Exactly.
I'm like, yes, make something that's difficult. Make something that people want to be able to wear and can't. Oh. I liked what you said earlier about just your approach to picking new things to design, that you're like, what do I like? But it would never fit me and make that. So I think that's a really unique way to design things, and approach that of it's almost like taking on a challenge. You're not picking what's easy.
Yeah.
You're like, what would be the hardest thing to do? Let me do that.
Yeah, literally. I'm literally picking the difficult things because I think at the end of the day, it's fun for me. It really is. And I do enjoy a good challenge and I like to challenge myself and I kind of like to push the limits of what's possible. And so, yeah, I am very much sticking to like that design process because there's so many articles of clothing that just fall under that category. Like it really is endless. I mean, pretty much anything backless, anything mm-hmm. strapless, all of those things are huge pain points for a lot of girls. And so it's fun to try to tackle those issues and kind of try to push the bounds of what is possible for fuller bust women. You know, is there a way that we can do backless, strapless things? I don't know. Maybe you can find out. Like it's cool to kind of take that kind of point of view towards creating pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So what has been the best business decision that you think you've made so far?
Best business decision. That's a good question.
What can I think of best, maybe most proud of?
Most proud of. I think just getting started and pulling the trigger, I think. Just pulling the trigger on it, I think, was the best, obviously best business decision was to start the business. But just pulling the trigger and kind of having that mentality that I've kind of carried throughout everything is to just like, what's the worst that could happen, honestly, and have to pull the trigger in order to make progress and trying not to get too hung up on things like the size chart. I think having to shift my mentality, and especially when it comes to clothing and designing things, and it's not going to fit every person in the world. So you can make it the best that you can with what you have, and then you have to pull the trigger at some point. And it's never going to be perfect. There's always going to be, I wish I had tweaked this, or maybe we should have moved the strap here. Maybe we should have increased that a little bit. And having that bias towards action is the best thing you can do for your business, I think. Because in my opinion, I think it's better to fail fast and learn than it is to spend 3 months or 4 months trying to make sure this thing is perfect, because you'll probably still be wrong anyways. So,
Yep, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what are some of the new things, if you can share, you're working on? What are the next design ideas that you're thinking about working on?
Yeah, so I just, like you said, I made a little post about it today, some things I have coming down the pipeline. So I'm working on loungewear, just in general, just a kind of like matching set to lounge around the house in. And what I really love about this set, for if you have a fuller bust, if you ever have one of those tops that you get from like Lululemon or Athleta that have that built-in bra on the inside. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have a bigger chest, rarely does that band actually sit on your ribs. It more often than not sits on the middle of your boob. Or either
so
you pull
uncomfortable.
It, either or that, or you pull it down, but then you're spilling out the top of the top. Like you're spilling out the top literally because you have the band stretched all the way down. So what I love about the loungewear is that I've extended the bra on the inside to actually come all the way down and have a little bit of extra space there too. So it's super comfortable and I don't spill out of it. I literally wear the samples. I was just wearing it last night. I wear the samples all the time because I just love getting super comfortable samples. And I'm like, oh, it's so comfy. I literally have nothing else like it in my wardrobe, which is why I'm wearing it all the time. So I'm really excited about that. And then I also have the Raven cutout dress coming down the pipeline as well. And I just got the large sample for that. So I'm looking forward to placing the bulk order for that soon. And what I love about that dress is, like we were talking about earlier, is that nothing like that dress exists for fuller bust girls. Because the cup sizing is so much bigger than what you would find out in the market. So the cups are nice and big, just the same way as if you would have a swimsuit, for example. And then the back is adjustable, which it wasn't originally. So I swapped out the clips in the back for a drawstring adjustable situation, made the fabric stretchy. Yeah, made the fabric less stretchy so that it can kind of lift and hold and actually be tightened. And then made the cups bigger so that the wire actually sits on your ribs and you actually have some kind of lift. So I'm really excited about people to be able to get that dress, because that's something that I don't even own anything like that in my closet. I don't have anything that's backless like that. I don't have anything that's like that where I don't have to wear a bra. So I'm really excited about that piece too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's really exciting. And yeah, I was looking at the picture of the lingerie you posted. I was like, I'm not the target market. So I was like, I wonder what challenge this solves for fuller bust.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I was thinking, maybe it's longer.
Yeah, the little clip I posted Yeah, the little clip I posted today doesn't, it's not the, I think if you scroll a couple weeks back in my account, I do a longer video on it and I actually lift the top up so you can see the bra underneath. Because if I just have it down regularly, you would never be able to tell what problem it solves.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
It's the whole point. To fit and to like not highlight that this is the challenge normally.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a very simple, straightforward. That one wasn't as challenging. That was just like, I love these kinds of tops and I don't have one that actually fits. And I'm like, okay, it can't be that hard. Let me just try to extend the bra down a couple of inches.
Well, so after you did a corset, it probably was a lot easier, wasn't it?
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Compared to the corset, the loungewear was a breeze. Just got the sample and I was like, yep, let's extend this down 3 inches and I think we're ready to go.
Nice.
Yep.
So I have one more question that I ask everyone at the end of the interview, which is if you could communicate one value to the world through the clothes you design, what would it be?
I could communicate one value. I would say that having a fuller bust is not, or not just having a fuller bust, but showing off your fuller bust is not always something to be over-sexualized, I think. And I think that's just really important in a lot of my clothes. They're not super, super full coverage. And I think that it's just important for fuller bust girls, but not always have to feel like you have to strap them down and tuck them away and shove them into something where they don't fit and cover them up and keep it hidden from the world because it's this taboo thing. I would love for my clothes to be like, hey, this is my body and I'm wearing something that I like and that's it. So I feel like a lot of times, just for so many pieces, whatever it is, you're always spilling out the top, you're spilling out the bottom, you're spilling out the sides, and it becomes this thing that's very perverted, I feel like, in the eyes of the public. And a lot of that can be fixed by just having enough space actually for your body to fit in the clothes.
Clothes problem.
So yeah, that's something I'd like to portray to the world, you know.
That's a great message.
Yeah.
Well, this has been such an amazing conversation, Kalia. Where can people follow what you're doing and shop your pieces online?
Yeah. So online, our website is bodyconthebrand.com. And then on Instagram, it's @bodyconbrand. So yeah, that's where you can find us and stay up to date with what's going on.
Sounds good. I'll put links to those in the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining me today.
That's all for today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. And if you would like more episodes and resources like this about growing a fashion business that fits your customer lifestyle and values, sent right to your inbox, you can sign up for the How Fitting newsletter at howfittingpatterns.com/newsletter or at the link in the show notes. Again, thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me again for the next episode of How Fitting.